So today we're going to be talking about a virtue that I think everyone struggles with in some way, and this virtue is self-control. So every day we're faced with situations where we have a choice of how we want to act. We can either act out of self-control or a lack of it. And one of the main things that I tend to struggle with as far as self-control is buying things I do not need. So the last few months, my brother and I have gotten into a kick where we buy these cards for a game called Lorcana. And I'll just give you a very brief explanation of what this game is. So basically, it's a card where all the cards are Disney characters. And the goal is to get to a certain score. You're supposed to get to 20 points. And basically, your cards have different abilities. They can get you to that 20 points you need. So you have to battle another person to get to the 20 points that you need. So that's just so you know what the game is, but it started at a card store in Defiance. So we actually were going to Defiance to get Pokemon cards. But then we saw this other game, Lorcana, and we're like, okay, we're gonna start off slow. We'll try it. We purchased a pack or two, and we were just like, we're gonna start out slow. We're gonna see how we like it. Well, within a short period of time, we bought all the packs that they have. So it didn't end here, though. So usually during our lunch at my work, my dad and I go to Walmart to get food for the whole week. And we do the same exact thing every time. We go get our food. We proceed to the back of the store till we arrive at the bikes. Now, keep in mind, we already have like 7 bikes at our house. But for some reason, every time we go to Walmart, we go to the bikes. And we'd look to see if there's a deal, so maybe there's another one we can get. And then after looking at the bikes, we go to the clearance aisle, which this is even worse. So we started to get food. We went to the bikes. Now we're at the clearance aisle. So we're looking around. We're looking through all the stuff, seeing if we can find a little deal. And we usually do find something that we don't need. So then after we get out of the clearance aisle, my dad and I always go like, we always say, we got to quit buying stuff. We got to quit doing this. We come here and get stuff we don't need every time. But the problem is we haven't even gotten to the card aisle yet at Walmart. So we went to the food, we went to the bikes, we went to the clearance aisle, and now I got to go to the card aisle because we really got into this game. And I know that if I go into that card aisle, I'm not going to be able to resist getting a pack of cards. I know. But I go anyway, so this is a lack of self-control on my part. So instead of spending $30 for food for the whole week, I spend $45 by getting 2 packs of cards. So again, this is a lack of self-control on my part. So after a few weeks of doing this, I told my dad, we got to start going to Chief. So we can't, there's no clearance aisle, there's no bikes or nothing in Chief. So I'm like, we'll just go there, we'll get our food. But the problem with Chief is, by the time you get the same food I got at Walmart, I could have got 2 packs of cards. So this is just one example of something that I struggle to have self-control with. But I just want you to try to think of something that maybe you struggle with having self-control with. Because we don't realize that when we're not trying to control ourselves, we're disobeying the Word of God, which tells us to be self-controlled. So while me getting my cards at Walmart doesn't really sound bad, I mean, they're just little Disney characters. You got Cinderella on one of the cards. It doesn't sound bad. The reason it's not good is that I'm satisfying the lust of my flesh, satisfying that desire, like in my human desire to satisfy that need for something that I don't need. So the cards aren't bad, but it's the way it makes me feel when I'm going to get those cards and act is not good, because that translates to other things too. So we all struggle in areas. So maybe it's our mouth saying things we shouldn't. Maybe we struggle with anger. Maybe jealousy, hate, gossip, patience, lust, procrastination, lying. There's many, many things that we can struggle to have self-control with. So I'm sure if you can relate to some of these, and maybe not, but I'm sure most of us can. And it can become almost like an addiction. And these things can become a part of who we are. So if maybe we have trouble like talking about people or something, we can make this a habit where like it almost part of who we are. So like we just do it all the time. And the problem with this is that it's distracting us who we're supposed to be focusing on. And it also doesn't look good to non-believers who see us. If they know we're Christians, we're supposed to be a light and to be an example, to have self-control. If they're seeing this, they're going to be like, well, I thought this guy was a Christian. So it also doesn't look good to other believers when we don't have self-control. And in today's passage, we're going to see that Jesus was tempted by Satan, yet he was able to resist these temptations, and we're going to see how. Jesus had self-control, and I know some of you say, well, that's Jesus. Obviously, he had self-control. He's God and perfect. Like, obviously, he's not going to resist in these temptations. But while this is true, we must keep in mind that we also have the Holy Spirit, and we have the Word of God that can help us to be self-controlled people. And the Word of God also exposes the enemy's lies and can cause him to flee, as we'll see in this passage as well. So God gave us everything we need to live a self-controlled life. He gave us everything we need. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. We have everything we need. And it's kind of just a matter of whether we want to be self-controlled, because some people know that they're not being self-controlled, but they like to be that way because, you know, sin, it's satisfying that fleshly desire. So I want you all to turn to Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. So I'm going to read this for you. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and he said to them, All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. So in verse 1, we can see that Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted. This was no accident. This was a test to show who Jesus was. So Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Just think, if you fasted 40 days and 40 nights, would you still be able to control yourself? I mean, that's a really long time. That's over a month. Probably not. I mean, I start getting upset if I have to wait in line at Taco Bell for 5 minutes. I couldn't imagine not being eaten for 40 days. You'd probably feel weak. You'd probably feel tired, irritable, and of course, hungry. And Jesus was hungry, and the tempter said to Jesus, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." And some of you may think, why does it matter if he makes a stone a loaf of bread? We see in the New Testament, Jesus does make food. He can make food. But the reason that this is a problem is because it was contrary to God the Father's will. Because God the Father, the Spirit led Jesus out there to be tempted. And if he were to kind of disobey that, what he was doing there, it would be against the Father's will, because the Father's will was for him to be fast and to be tempted. And the enemy was trying to get Jesus to slip up. Why would Jesus say this thing? Obviously, he was trying to get Jesus to disobey, to fall away. But Jesus had self-control. He didn't say, "Okay, I can do that," which obviously could. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the word, by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So the main point that I really want to get across to you today is that to be self-controlled, we must have the Word of God written on our hearts. We must have the Word of God in our hearts. We have to know it by heart. Because like Jesus, when you're tempted, then you'll be able to say, it is written. So continuing on this passage, Jesus, he could see what Satan was trying to do. Satan was trying to tempt Jesus, but Jesus could see straight through it. He said, instead of satisfying his flesh, which means like satisfying that sinful desire as I was talking about before, like Jesus was hungry, so satisfying his flesh would have been trying to fulfill that fleshly desire to feed himself. But Jesus had self-control. Satan was trying to trap Jesus, but Jesus thwarted that temptation in one sentence. Instead of relying on what Jesus' flesh told him, which was hunger, he relied on the word. What the word says is, which is to trust and rely on God, and not to rely on the desires of the flesh. So obviously Jesus knew the word of God. He is God. So why was he being tempted? I mean, you may ask, why was Jesus being tempted? He was being tempted to show whether he was who he claimed to be. See, Jesus was being tested, and he was being tempted beyond what any of us would be tested. One author put it this way, if you give me enough temptation, you build up the pressure, and finally I'll succumb to it. So I think this is true of most of us. If you just keep getting tempted by the same thing over and over, eventually you're probably going to give in to it. That's just because that's our sinful nature. But Jesus did not give in to it. And if we do not know the truth like Jesus did, if we do not know the Word of God and do not saturate ourselves in the Word of God, we can easily fall into this trap of lack of self-control, because if we're being tempted by something, tempted to do something, if we don't know the Word of God, we may not know that we're supposed to do that. But Jesus did. And in our lives, we can become slaves to the lust of the flesh. We can be slaves to greed, pleasure, gossip, anger, all these things. We can become slaves to these things. And when we fall prey to these temptations, we're no longer exhibiting self-control, but we're satisfying our sinful desires. So I don't know if any of you feel this way, but you know how sometimes sin can feel good. Like that's the problem, is that when we're not exhibiting self-control, we can fall into this trap where we're just satisfying that fleshly desire. Because sin, you know, sin can feel good. Like me going to get a pack of cards, it feels good, but it's not good because I'm satisfying that fleshly desire. But we don't have to be like that. Like Jesus, we do not have to give in to the temptations of life. With the Word, we can expose the lies that we need to gratify the flesh. So next, in verse 4, Satan takes Jesus to Jerusalem at the highest point of the temple, which according to one source was up to 450 feet above the Kidron Valley. So just imagine Jesus at the top of the temple, and he's 450 feet above this big ravine, and he's with Satan. And Satan's telling him, you can jump off this. The angels are going to save you, which is true. Jesus could have had his angels save him if he would have jumped off that. But Jesus can see through Satan's lies. Although that is true, like I said, his angels could save him. He could jump off that and be perfectly fine. It is going against Scripture, because Jesus responds, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. So if Jesus had done this, he would have tested the Lord and gone against God the Father's will. But Jesus did not accept Satan's lies. He said, it is written. And see, we can do the same thing when we're being tempted. And yet again, this is another example of self-control. Instead of succumbing to Satan's lies, Jesus reverses this lie with the truth in one simple sentence. And while this is just one scripture, it is true for other scenarios also. Some of us may have been tempted to test God before, not realizing that this is wrong. And I'll give you a little example. So maybe for some reason you have the urge to talk behind someone's back, but you know that you're a Christian, that you believe in God, you go to church, but you think that because you go to church and stuff that there's not going to be consequences to that, but you're testing God because you're doing wrong. If we know the word, we know that doing wrong is not going to guarantee God's protection. Like, he's not going to approve of that. So we can't test God and say, okay, I'll be fine. God will protect me because I believe in him. So that's testing God. So that's another reason why it's very important to know the word of God, because right in that scenario with Jesus and Satan, Jesus was able to thwart that temptation. He was able to just put it aside because Jesus knew the word. And then the final temptation Jesus faces is when Satan says in verse 8, or what it says in verse 8, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. So if Jesus were to fall into this temptation, it also would be directly violating God the Father's will for him, because Jesus did not come to the earth to do what Satan's saying. He didn't come to accept all the kingdoms from the enemy. He came to lay aside his glory and die on the cross before he sat on his royal throne. So this would have been violating God's will for Jesus. Satan was offering a shortcut that would not lead to the cross. But again, in just a few words, Jesus exposes Satan's tricks. And Jesus says, begone, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. He said, begone. He didn't say, you know, you're probably right. You could give me all these kingdoms. I could do all these things, but he knew the word of God. He quoted scripture. He didn't give Satan an inch for him to give in to this temptation. He said, be gone. Jesus had self-control, and he could see through the tricks of the enemy. Can you? When we're tempted to do something wrong, maybe we're tempted to be angry at someone or say something harsh to someone. We're tempted to satisfy our pleasures, things, anything like that. Do you say, it is written, or do you say, oh, it's okay, it'll be okay, I'll just do this? Most of us probably not, some of us may, but Jesus does. And whenever you are facing trouble, this is what we're called to do. We're supposed to know the scripture in our hearts so that we can resist this temptation. And this kind of leads into verse 11, which I really like, verse 11. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. So after all these temptations, the devil left him, because Jesus exposed and rebuked Satan. He didn't give him a chance. Satan was like, all right, I got nothing on this guy. I'm going to leave, because Jesus resisted all the temptations of the devil. And like Jesus, we don't have to fall into the temptations either. We don't have to be unself-controlled people. We can be people who are self-controlled. We have everything we need. We do not have to fall into the temptations of lust, gossip, anger, pleasure, greed, and an uncontrollable tongue. We do not have to be people who lack self-control. And this is not who we're called to be. We're called to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, which, as we can see in this passage, Jesus had self-control and he knew the word of God. And while we understand that we're not perfect like Jesus, Jesus still gives us everything we need to be self-controlled people. He gives us everything we need to live a virtuous life. And if we really dig in and consistently read the scriptures, when the temptations of life come, when we're tempted to do something that is not in self-control, but we do something that's out of control, we can say, like Jesus, it is written, it is written, it is written. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So obviously, we have everything we need to resist the devil and to resist that feeling of temptation. And I just want to give you a few examples of some scenarios that you might go through or have seen where we can use the Word of God to resist temptation. So let's say you're at work, maybe you're even at church, and there's someone you really don't like. I mean, this person said something mean to you or they embarrassed you. It could be anything. Maybe they could have made you look bad. But the other person can obviously tell that you do not like them. And you may be tempted to say something back to them, which I know it's easy when you're really fired up. You really don't like somebody. You don't want to help them. And you may be tempted to do something not so nice to them. But we know in the Word, if we have the Word written on our hearts, we know as Christians, this is not the correct course of action. We're not called to avenge our enemies, and we're not called to hold grudges. And Paul says in Romans 12, 9 through 21, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So obviously, if you have this scripture in your heart, if you know the scripture by heart, when you're thinking about maybe repaying someone evil because they did something wrong to you, you can think of the scripture, well, that's not the course of action we're supposed to take as Christians. It's the Lord's job to take care of that. We're still to be kind. It says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him, because that's going to heap burning coals on his head. I'm sure many of you have heard that verse, but that's why it's so important to know scripture, because it gives us a very clear course of action that we're supposed to take when we're tempted to do something wrong. And here's another example. Some of us may have issues with controlling our tongues, and I feel like this is a really easy one. And if any of you have read James, you know that the tongue can be very dangerous. We may be constantly using very perverted words, saying hurtful things to others, complaining, lying. It could be anything. But when we see ourselves doing this, instead of just continuing to do it and letting it get out of control, we can go to the Word and see what that says. And that's why it's so important that we know the Word of God, because it tells us so clearly that we are supposed to control our tongue. And the tongue is one of the easiest things to let get out of control, and it can cause the most damage. And I'll just read to you a few verses that kind of show why it's so important to control our tongue and what the benefits are. So in James 1:26, it says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So just these few verses, while there's a lot of verses on your tongue, give us a clear guide on how we're supposed to speak to others, what we're supposed to say. Because, again, as I said at the beginning, if we're just saying whatever we want, that does not show that we have Christ in our life. And if others see this and they know we're a Christian, that's not a good example. So that's why it's so important to have these scriptures written on your heart, so that when you're tempted to say something to someone, you can think of this and be like, no, that's not how I'm supposed to act. In conclusion, I just want to say the Word of God has power. And we saw this that we saw this in the story of Jesus being tempted. Jesus was the perfect example of self-control. He was hungry. I mean, he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He obviously was very hungry and tired, yet he was able to resist the temptations of Satan and expose his lies. And if you really think about it, most of us struggle with self-control in multiple ways. I know I do, and I still need to work on this. And some of you may struggle with anger. Some of you may struggle with gossip. And the list can just go on and on. There's so many things that we can struggle with self-control in. But we're not called to give in to that. We're called to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. Not this world, which the world is out of control. And I know some of you know that it is a life journey of becoming more self-control. Obviously, we're human. We're not going to be perfect right out of the box. But you may be able to think of some things that you struggled with when you were younger. Maybe you don't struggle with them now, or maybe you still struggle with these things. But the point is that we don't have to live like that. We don't have to be people who live an out-of-control life, who just follow every sinful desire that we have. We don't have to be. And Jesus shows us that we do not have to be. And I just want to ask you, like, do any of you know someone who maybe started small, like a pattern of lack of self-control, and then it just kept getting worse and worse, and then it eventually led to something worse? I don't know if anybody you can think of that, but like somebody who just, it started out as a small issue where they were not controlling themselves, and then eventually it became a really big issue. And we can kind of see this in James, where he says, but each person is tempted when is lured and enticed by his own desire. And then when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. So if you just keep letting this desire that you have, these habits that you have of, you know, it could be your tongue or whatever it may be, if you keep letting that get out of control, James says it's going to lead to death. So, or it may just not lead to good things. So we must control ourselves. And whatever area in our life that we're struggling to control ourselves, whatever it may be, we should go to God about it and get in His Word, because we know that we cannot do it on our own. We're too weak as humans, but God, as I said, He gave us everything we need to be self-controlled people. We have the Holy Spirit, and we have the Word of God. And it is no accident that the Word of God is called the sword of the Spirit. It is a weapon against the sin and corruption of this world. It exposes the lies that we hear, so we know that what is truth and what is not truth. And we need to all praise God that He gave us the Word of God, because without the Word of God, we might not know these things. So I'll just pray for you guys. Lord, thank You for bringing us all here today. I pray that You would keep us all safe and bring us back here next week. And I pray that You would just give us the desire to get into the Word of God. I know there's a lot of distractions, but I pray that You would just give us the desire to get in the Word of God, so that Your Word becomes ingrained in our heart. It becomes a part of who we are, so we can be self-controlled people and be an example to others, so that other people can look at us and say, wow, they're different, and they know that we're different because we're Christians. I pray that You would just give us all the strength and courage to become more self-controlled people and to get into Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.